listener production.
A quick warning. This episode of The Briefing explores themes of domestic violence and coercive control. Please listen with care.
Hey, Bension Siebert here with The Briefing. The GPS on our phones and the apps that use it can be incredibly useful. They tell us easily how to get from A to B, or how long the Uber will take to get there, or for parents, they work as a safety device, keeping an eye on children. But this technology can be used in incredibly scary ways. Malware, spyware, stalkerware programs can give unauthorized and undetected insight into another person's device. They can read your text messages. They can see your photos, use your microphone, track your location, even turn on your camera. And unsurprisingly, they're tools that can be used by perpetrators of domestic abuse to monitor and inflict coercive control on victim survivors. In the US, the state has taken spyware companies to court and won. But what does the law say about this kind of technology in Australia? And what can you do if you fear you might have your device bugged right now? Rose McDonald is a cyber forensic expert, a former digital forensic detective specializing in child abuse and domestic violence, and co-founder of Nansen Digital Forensic Services. Rose, thanks so much for joining us. How dangerous is this technology?
So when a person has something such as spyware application installed on their phone, the person whose device it is installed on won't necessarily see an application or be aware of any type of service functioning on the phone. But for the perpetrator who has installed the application on the phone, many of these provide the perpetrator with a dashboard. So they sign into a dashboard and they're presented with a whole range of different options that they can control on that device. And as you pointed out, they can read text messages, they can access documents, they can access GPS location data and a whole range of other functions on the target phone.
That's really scary. Do we know how common it is that people have this kind of malware or stalkerware installed on their phone?
That's a really good question, and I think that it's a very difficult question to answer accurately. I can say that through our work, working with victim survivors of domestic violence, we see a range of different spyware installed on devices, but we also see the use of very legitimate tools that people rely on in their daily activities being misused. So the prevalence is very difficult to quantify. I know that research sort of points to case managers working in the sexual and domestic violence field talking about well over 93% of case managers having clients who experience technology facilitated abuse, but it's really difficult to quantify because we don't know how much of this is being reported or not, based on the fact of awareness of this stuff being on somebody's device.
Is it legal to install something like this on someone else's phone in Australia?
Well, I'm not a legal expert, and most of this spyware that I've seen, and we run a spyware lab, so we purchase this stuff and we look at it quite closely. Most of it is marketed as a parental application to install on children's devices so that parents can monitor and keep their children safe. I think it probably comes down to awareness and whether you've consented to tools or applications being installed on your device and how they're being used. And that's probably a conversation more broadly that we should be having nationally about the different legislation state to state and around the territories about whether or not we need some legislation that looks at the importance of somebody having the awareness and consenting to this kind of stuff being put on their mobile devices.
So let's say, for example, that there might be someone listening that thinks that they might have this kind of software installed on their phone. Is there any way that they could tell?
There's a few things that you can do to review your device to give you a very good indication. And some of the typical things that you might experience, say, with a phone is that the battery might drain very, very quickly. And that's quite unusual behavior compared to, you know, your previous experience with your phone. The battery might get very hot. you might find that you might see a green or an orange light appearing at the top of your phone, which is indicative of the microphone or camera accessing a particular application. Now, of course, there's reasons why, as an application becomes active, microphones or cameras will be accessed. So it doesn't always mean that there's spyware there. But if you are sitting your phone quietly on a kitchen table, not using any applications, and you're seeing these sort of lights appear, then that might be indicative. You can also go through your applications. And if you've got what we call like mirrored applications, so duplicate apps that don't make sense, then that might be another indication.
And what if someone finds that kind of thing? They realize that their battery is going down really fast and it didn't do it before, or it's hot, or there's these superfluous apps they didn't see before. What do they do then?
Well, there's a couple of things that people can do, and I guess it depends on the context of the situation. So if you're somebody in a domestic violence situation and you're experiencing or noticing these types of behaviors of your device, then you might want to have a conversation or reach out to law enforcement and get some advice from law enforcement. You may want to reach out to a domestic violence agency that provides support. But if you're not in that kind of situation, there's organisations like ours that you can reach out to, and you can undertake. Well, we operate digital safety audits, so we work with clients to essentially do a risk profile, and we work through their devices and online environments to ensure that they're safe.
Are there changes that you'd like to see either in law or the enforcement of the law or support for victim survivors of this kind of abuse in Australia?
I think it's really important that we raise the awareness of technology facilitated abuse as being real and something that does occur. Too often, I think people who work in various environments that are supporting domestic violence victims or other victims of crime don't necessarily have the knowledge or awareness to be able to identify or appreciate the prevalence of this type of abuse. And I think also we would really benefit from having our legal minds come together and really look at some of the spyware that's available in the market and actually consider some of the things that we can do to not necessarily prevent them operating. That might be difficult, but certainly things like ensuring we have laws that say if you are going to install an application on another person's device or a device that another person commonly uses, that they have both the awareness and consent for you to do that. I think if we ensure that awareness and consent of these types of applications or use of, you know, legitimate tools like family sharing, for example, prevalent, then it assists law enforcement and other accountability mechanisms to actually take action when they're identified.
You mentioned that you're not a legal expert and neither am I, but is it plausible that this kind of technology and its use might be captured in the anti-coercive control laws that have been passed in New South Wales and that's coming for Queensland?
Coercive control is a really interesting one, and a lot of, obviously being so new, a lot of this stuff hasn't been tested through the courts yet. I think probably where the technology evidence sits within that is it's broader than just potentially being spyware, but it can provide evidence of communications, you know, the types of communications, the types of access to a device, the control of a device, certainly evidence of installing spyware or using applications, a device to monitor somebody is very good evidence of coercive control, I would suggest.
And before you go, can you share perhaps your most memorable case with us?
Oh gosh, there's a number of them, but I think I will give one particular case where a client had quite sophisticated spyware on her device. And this will give you an example of how this stuff is used to really just get in somebody's head and cause harm. So this particular person was on a Teams call, and the perpetrator was yelling at her to turn her camera on. And she'd turn her camera on and he was on the other side turning the camera off. And you can imagine the abuse that was coming through, calling her, you're an idiot, you don't know how to use technology. And obviously things were escalated and she kept turning the camera on and he was turning the camera off. And that just gives an example of the type of, I guess, the kind of influence or harm that somebody can cause, because she felt like she was going crazy. But more broadly, you know, this person was experiencing being followed or tracked. Everything that she did was being monitored. She was frightened to seek out services because the monitoring of her location was being so tightly held by the perpetrators. So she was really frightened to access services because she had a feeling that there was spyware on her devices, and she was also aware that if she sought advice or help and entered into a police station or entered into a domestic violence service provider, that he may well get an alert that she's turned up at that location. So she lived in a lot of fear, and the impacts are just pervasive.
Can I just ask, how did that person manage to get help?
That particular person put all of the devices aside and walked into a domestic violence service agency who contacted us. And we went through the process of doing a digital safety audit, and we followed that up with some forensics. And we wrote a report, and that report was then presented in court to assist with getting an intervention order in place.
That's good to hear there is help available. Well, Rose McDonald, thanks so much for speaking with us on The Briefing today.
You're very welcome, Benson. Thank you for having me.
That was Rose McDonald, CEO of Nansen Digital Forensic Services and former digital forensic analyst and detective. You can hear more about Rose's work in bringing both domestic violence and child abuse perpetrators to justice by listening to the most recent episode of Crime Insider's Forensics. We've popped a link into the show notes for you. That's all for this episode of The Briefing. Make sure you hit follow and click that share button to pass this episode on to a friend so they can hear it too. My name's Ben Sion Siebert. Thanks so much for joining me.